Chapter 4. God Bless Us Everyone. Awakening in the middle of a deep sleep and sitting up in bed to get his thoughts together, Scrooge almost hadn't noticed the sound of the church bells that had just rung one. He hoped he might be better prepared for the second of the three spirits, and so he pulled at his bed curtains. Now, Scrooge was not normally a brave man, but his first two visitors had made him ready for any ghost, he felt. Nothing between a baby and a rhinoceros would have surprised him. If he was prepared for anything, he certainly was not prepared for nothing, so that when the bell struck one and nothing happened, Scrooge began to shake. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a quarter of an hour went by, but nothing came. Was he dreaming, or had he been dreaming all along? All this time he lay on his bed, which seemed to shine with some sort of reddish light. Where was this light coming from? It took some time for Scrooge to realize that the source of this light came from his sitting room, and so he got up softly and walked slowly to the door in his slippers. The moment Scrooge's hand was on the door, a strange voice called out to him by his name and asked him to enter. He did as he was told. It was his own room, there was no doubt about that, but it had been transformed in a surprising way. The walls and ceiling were hung with living green, so that it looked like a perfect garden, from every part of which he could see berries shining in the calm light. The crisp leaves of mistletoe reflected back the light like many mirrors. A great fire went up the chimney, warming everything before it. Heaped up on the floor to form a kind of throne were turkeys, geese, chicken, strings of sausages, mince pies, plum puddings, red-hot chestnuts, juicy oranges, and bowls of punch that made the room clouded with a delicious steam. And on the throne there sat, comfortably, a giant, glorious to see, and holding a torch from which shone a reddish light.
"Come in," said the ghost. "Welcome, Ebenezer. Come in."
Scrooge entered the room, but did not want to meet the spirit's eyes.
"I am the ghost of Christmas Present," said the spirit. "Look at me."
Scrooge did as he was told. It was clothed in one simple green coat with white fur. Its chest was bare. It was not wearing any shoes, and on its head it wore a wreath, shining with icicles. Its dark brown curls were long and free, free as its kind face, its shining eyes, its open hand, its cheerful voice.
"Touch my coat," said the ghost.
Scrooge, knowing what was expected of him, did so, and held it tight. The mistletoe, red berries, turkeys, geese, chicken, meat, sausages, pies, puddings, fruit, and punch all suddenly disappeared. So did the room, the fire, the reddish light, the hour of night, and they stood in the city streets on the Christmas morning. Despite the cold, and it was very cold, people were making a rough, but not unpleasant, kind of music, removing the snow from the pavement in front of their houses. Carts were making deep marks in the snow, crisscrossing each other along the great streets. The sky was dark, and the smallest streets were full of snow, half melted and half frozen. There was nothing very cheerful in the climate or the town, and yet there was a cheerfulness in the air. Where was it coming from? It soon became obvious. The people who were lifting the snow were happy, calling out to one another from rooftops, and sometimes even throwing snowballs. As Scrooge and the spirit walked through the wintry streets of this pleasant neighbourhood, a true Christmas spirit was in the air. The grocers, The fruit sellers and even the butchers were still half open and smelt wonderful, especially the grocers, with special tea and coffee, fruits and nuts, its sticks of cinnamon and other spices, its French plums, and much, much more. Perhaps it was the generous nature of the good spirit that gave them direction, or perhaps it was his sympathy with all poor men. Whatever it was, they soon arrived at the four-roomed house of Scrooge's clerk, Bob Cratchit. And it was then that Scrooge saw what he had never seen before or thought possible, a family caught in the moment. They were not very well dressed. Their shoes were far from being waterproof and their clothes were old, nor was their house properly dressed with comfortable pieces of furniture. Another sign of their poverty came from the kitchen, where a goose was cooking instead of the usual Christmas turkey. But they were happy, grateful, and pleased with one another and the time they had together. Mrs. Cratchit was making the sauce. Their eldest son, Master Peter, was preparing the potatoes with great energy. A daughter, Miss Belinda, was sweetening up the apple sauce. Another, Miss Marta, was cleaning the cooker, and Bob himself took his youngest, Tiny Tim, beside him in a tiny corner at the table, which was neatly laid out for their Christmas dinner. As far as Scrooge could see, the only complaint that this family could have with life was that Tiny Tim carried a little crutch with him. The family sat down at the table and said prayers. This was followed by a pause, as Mrs. Cratchit, looking slowly all along the knife, prepared to cut the goose, and when she did, a sound of happiness was heard around the table. Even Tiny Tim weakly cried hurrah. When they had finished with their delicious dinner, the table was cleared, the floor swept, and the fire made up. They sat down by it, ready with a compote of fruit and some chestnuts. They lifted their mugs when Bob proposed, "A Merry Christmas to us all, my dears. God bless us." Which they all joined in. "God bless us, everyone," said Tiny Tim, the last of all. And the scene disappeared before Scrooge's eyes.